coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios. The Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. Here's your host, Randy Bergen, with Coach Rick Cleveland and Coach Mark Lasseter.
Good Saturday morning and welcome to another edition of the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report as we're coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios located right here in Daphne, Alabama. And boy, we're glad to have you on board with us on a beautiful Saturday morning. The fat pack is back.
holy cow. Boy, you just walk right in and get that one.
You're here with us today, so I've been holding that one, man. I've been holding that one for sure.
Oh, boy.
Hey, no, we're glad to have you here with us. I'm Randy Bergen along with Coach Rick Cleveland and Coach Mark Laster. Rick, good game last night. Got to watch a good ball game with Spanish Fort and Baldwin County.
We did, Randy. You got me choked up on that fat pack. I'm still trying to struggle through that, but it was a really good game. I thought there were some outstanding performances. But as a team, I thought Spanish Fort executed and came out in the second half, with the exception of the opening drive of the second half where Baldwin County just took the ball down and kind of imposed their will drive. I thought that Spanish Fort just totally did exactly what they were supposed to do, cleaned it up in the second half, and just played really, really well.
They certainly did. And, Mark, congratulations to you and your Bayside Academy Admirals. You get a win on the road last night.
It was a big win for us to go down to Orange Beach and play. And, first of all, to see that facility. You know, we talked about it a little bit on here last year.
Right.
When they were just really kind of getting things going. And they still got a lot of work to do. But, I mean, that was some kind of facility, big jumbotron in the end, turf field.
It's like a little college.
It is a little college, and you got that indoor facility going up on one end. I got to see my good friend Chris Shaw, who he's the principal at Orange Beach, and many of y'all may not know. When I first went to Fairhope in 2001, he was the defense coordinator for me on that staff, and another guy named Scott Cook was with us, and Scott was now he's assistant principal down there at Orange Beach. So it's just good to see some old friends, still doing what they love. But what a game it was! I was really proud of our team, the way they came out and took care of business early, and pretty much, I felt like we won in most all phases of the game last night. So I thought our kids were really into it. And Orange Beach they got a program coming.
Yeah.
It's on the way. It's on the way. They hadn't got there yet, and I talked to Wade for a minute after the game last night and talked to him about, he's doing it right. They're getting kids out, and that's going to be a place to be reckoned with in the future.
That was grand slam hire. It really
no doubt.
Was.
A class guy. I mean, after the game, he's walking by talking to all of our kids, all of our coaches. He's one of those guys you want to be around. And
right.
I think Orange Beach is – got a home run hire with him, over a year ago, and if the time will tell, but I'm telling you, that program's going to be tough to deal with in years to come.
And that's going to be a place that's really going to have a lot of folks that want to go there.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah. It's nice. I mean, it's nice. And then there's Culver's Hamburgers right down the road.
Well, there you go. I mean, that just did it.
And, Randy, they even got a post-game meal. And congratulations to the head coach for bringing that up.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. Coach Trotter, he just decided, these boys are hungry, and we're going to stop at Culver's and get us a hamburger. And we did. Pulled the big bus and the minivan in there. And it pays to ride back on the bus, boys. I can tell you that much.
Oh, my goodness. Hey, look, we got a big lineup for you today on our Boudreaux's Cajun Grill guest line. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, we'll talk to Coach Tim Carter, the head football coach for the Pirates. Fairhope, they get a win last night, 31-0 over Alma Bryant. We'll have our leadership segment at 8:45. Of course, Coach Rick, you'll have that one. And then we start the top of the next hour with UMS Wright head football coach Sam Williams. They got a win last night as well. And that was on the road, was it not? Were they on the road, Rick?
You got to help me with that, Randy. What did you just ask? I was reading a text.
UMS Wright.
UMS was at home.
They were at home.
Yeah.
And they got the win.
Yeah.
All right. Then at the then at 9:15, we'll talk with Saraland's head football coach Jeff Kelly. They get a nice win over Gulf Shores, 43-14. Look, hey, for you Spanish Fort fans, get ready. We talked about it last night on the broadcast. We get to see those Spartans this Friday night on the hill. Going to be a big ball game.
Yeah, it will. That'll be a really good ball game. I think that's two really good football teams. I think Saraland right now may be the cream of the crop, you know, in our area here from what I've seen and just read and after talking to Jeff a few weeks back. I think that they have a chance to have a really, really special football team. But I'm telling you, chasing those guys at Spanish Fort, it's never easy to go to the hill and play ball, I can tell you that much.
He's doing a good job.
Yeah, he is.
He's doing a good job, ain't no doubt. A couple of things got to work on, but I think you watch Spanish Fort. And, of course, Rick, we talked about it last night. We had some folks asking, when did the rankings come out and all of that?
Yeah, I think after week five.
Something like that, yeah.
At rankings, but and coaches – to be honest with you, coaches really don't even look at that because it's all right in front of you. And, you know, you just take it a week at a time, really a day at a time, and go from there. So, you know, it gets real interesting about week seven, and eight because we start seeing region games that really eliminate or push you up to the front of the pack.
You know what's another thing that's kind of – funny in a way, you start really looking like your non-conference opponents, okay? Your non-region opponents. Did they win? How many? Because there's this tiebreaker system that always comes into effect around week 9 or 10, and you're sitting there wondering, how did – because the tiebreaker is so complicated, it usually comes down to your defeated non-region opponents' victories. How many did they win?
That's true.
And if that's it, then you're hoping. So I always look and say, okay, did somebody we beat win? Yeah. I hope so. You know, because we could use that win possibly.
Once we beat you, we hope you win all of them.
That's
right. Was there, coaches, you look, we're going to get into scores here in just a few moments from around the state. But as you went through the scores, was there one that stepped out to you that stood out that says, man, what a surprise?
Well, Hillcrest Tuscaloosa beating Hoover really surprised me. Really did. Only because
34-24
only because of the tenacity that I've seen with Hoover and what Chip and those guys have done up there. Hillcrest Tuscaloosa is a team that we saw them come into Saraland a couple of years ago and give them all they could handle. And so that's a coach from over in Mississippi that's retired, and he's one heck of a football coach. But that's the one that kind of stood out. I thought Auburn and Opelika was one of the sloppiest games I've ever seen Auburn and Opelika play. Fumbles all over the place, missed assignments. And, you know, Keith Etheridge, he drove to Birmingham. His mom had open-heart surgery on Thursday. He drove. He turned around and drove back home. His mama told him, said, son, you go home. You got a job to do. And they had surgery with her on Friday morning. But he came back and coached at Auburn Thursday night, 17-10 win. Not a real pretty game. So that was kind of a surprise to me. Other than that, I didn't see a whole lot.
I'll tell you a team that's kind of caught my eye right now, and it mainly because they're in our region, but Cottage Hill Christian is playing some pretty good football. They came back and beat Hillcrest Evergreen last night, came from behind to win that ball game. And I think they're undefeated right now. I'm not sure about that, but
they seem to be just a little under the radar.
They do, but they're very good. Yeah. They got the Tootle boys who are really good football players, and coach does a great job over there with how they do things at Cottage Hill. So I think that's a team's going to be to reckon with in 3A Region 1. I think they're going to be something to make a little noise for this whole thing's done.
You know, again, last night, Robert Evans and Vestavia just totally dismantled. Who did they play last week? Auburn. They just totally dismantled Auburn on the hill because that's what Vestavia is to me. But just totally dismantled them last night. They played Hewitt Trustful. And Hewitt Trustful, 7 of the last 9 years, has beaten Vestavia. Vestavia couldn't get over the hump last night, 28-14. But let me tell you, Vestavia is really, really good. And we said it here, Robert Evans and that staff will have Vestavia back where Buddy and those guys were when Buddy left.
You know, one of the big comebacks I guess you would say. Thompson last week got beat with a team in Georgia, right? They made up for it last night. They made up for it last night.
Yeah.
They beat Tuscaloosa County. Here you go. You ready? 69-0.
Yeah. Ooh. That's Chris Bell. That's Chris Bell.
Ow.
And who's a heck of a football player. That's
just, they're just kind of hurting it, Tuscaloosa.
Yes,
yeah.
They are.
Yeah. All right. Hey, look, let's take our first time out. When we come back, we're going to get these scores from around the state. We're going to start with 7A. So don't you go anywhere. More of the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report right after this.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, brought to you by Alpha Insurance. This segment presented by Green and Phillips Attorneys at Law. Now back to the show.
I seen your picture. Your name in lights above it.
This is for you, Mark.
This is your big day.
Of course it is. Oh, my goodness. All right. Hey, welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. All right, let's go around the state and get some scores for you. And we're going to start with 7A. Last night, Thursday night, Auburn defeats Opelika 17-10. Austin 29, Sparkman 7. Baker over Davidson 42-0. Central Phoenix City 56, Smith Station 20. Dothan over Enterprise. Coach, that's one you've been very familiar with. Dothan big, 69-28 the final. Fairhope gets the win over Alma Bryant, 31-0. Florence, 28. Albertville, 8. Foley over Robertsdale, 27-7. Hewitt, Trustful, 28. Vestavia Hills, 14. Hillcrest, Tuscaloosa, 34. Hoover, 24. Huntsville over Grissom, 20-13. James Clemens, 54. Bob Jones, 7. Mary Montgomery over Daphne, 41-31. Prattville, 27. Oak Mountain, 7. And Thompson, 69. Tuscaloosa County, 0.
In Class 6A, Athens 41, Coleman 38, Benjamin Russell, the Wildcats 42, Calera 13, Bessemer City 42, Brookwood 14, Blount 32, Murphy 0, Carver Montgomery 34, Jag 6, Central Tuscaloosa 35, Paul Bryant 0, Clay Chalkville 52, Pell City 9, Gadsden City 31, Buckhorn 6, Helena 23, Chilton County 6, Homewood 49, Mortimer Jordan 7, Jasper 48, Decatur 13, May Jemison 14, Hazel Green 6, Minor 33, Woodlawn 26, Mountain Brook 30, Hueytown 24 in overtime. Muscle Shoals 49, Columbia 6, Oxford 49, Shades Valley 7, Parker 47, Gardendale 3, Pelham 19, Chelsea 9, Pike Road 63, Rehoboth 0, Pinson Valley 48, Huffman 0, Russell County 31, Wetumpka 18, Saraland 43, Gulf Shores 14, Saraland, big win there. Southside 38, Leah Huntsville 19, Spanish Fort 42, Baldwin County 7, Stanhope Elmore 40, Percy Julian 0, Theodore 27, and McGill Tulane Catholic 0.
Yeah, but I think that score was wrong because it was 10-10 at half. And I think that score might have ended up 27-10 or 27-17.
I'll look it up in a minute.
Yeah, it's Class 5A, Andalusia 36, Headland 15, Arab 21, Sardis 15, Briarwood Christian 14, Ramsey 13, Carver Birmingham 32, John Carroll 16, Central Clay County 29, Valley 21, Charles Henderson 21, Greenville 13, Citronelle 28, Faith Academy 16, Corner 28, Winona 13, Fairview 42, West Point 14, Douglas 62, Hayden 34, Elmore County 36, Carroll 20, Eufaula 35, Montgomery Catholic 24, Gunnersville 63, Brewer 12, Hopeville 34, Sylacauga 31. I think Sylacauga had to go to Slap Out to play that game. Jemison 34, Selma 28, Leeds 42, Springville 0, Lincoln 49, Centerpoint 26, Marbury 16, Beauregard 14, McAdory 33, Northridge 24, Moody 42, Jacksonville 21, Northside 56, Montevallo 0, Priceville 49, Ardmore 13, Russellville 35, Lawrence County 6, Scottsboro 41, Boaz 7, Shelby County 31, Sipsey Valley 8, UMS Wright 39, BC Rain 20, Vigor 50, LaFleur 0, and Williamson, 64, Alberta, 9.
In Class 4A, Alexandria, 41, White Plains, 6, American Christian, 21, West Blockton, 7, Anniston, 43, Asheville, 14, Bibb County over Tyrant, 49, 20, Booker T. Washington, 19, Talladega, 6, Bullitt County, 31, St. James, 14, Central Florence, 42, Wilson, 0, Cherokee County over Winona, 42-29, Curry, 49, Haleyville, 28, Dell County, 19, Ashford, 12, Deschler, 58, Danville, 7, Fayette County over Door, 56-27, Good Hope, 52, Fruitdale, 0, Hamilton, 41, Cordova, 0, Hanley over Claiborne County, 35-10, Hatton, 34, Brooks, 6, Hoax Bluff, 28, Utah, 3, Jackson, 40, Escambia County, 0, Madison Academy over DAR 63-6, Mobile Christian 42, Satsuma 6, North Jackson 40, Madison County 28, Oak Grove 35, Holt 13, Opover New Brockton 49-7, Pike County 43, Geneva 7, Plainville 56, Randolph 7, Pleasant Grove 27, Fairville 19, St. Michael Catholic 43, W.S. Neal 29, Strawn over Daleville 36-7, Tallahassee gets the win over Mumford 53-21, Thorsby 44, Sumter Central 12, Westminster Christian 35, St. John Paul II Catholic 17. I got that one right there.
You did.
Okay,
you
thank
did.
You. West Morgan 49 and West Limestone 0.
In Class 3A, Alabama Christian 45, Northside Methodist Academy 8, Bayside Academy 42, Orange Beach 13, Colbert Heights 38, Clements 0, Cottage Hill Christian 17, Hillcrest Evergreen 13, Dadeville 28, Beulah 12, Flomaton 28, Excel 7, Fife 58, Collinsville 22, Geraldine 62, Ashbury 6, Glencoe 34, J.B. Pennington 21, Glenwood 53, B.B. Comer 8, Gordo 72, Hamsville 8, Greensboro 14, Dallas County 6, Hale County 59, Wilcox Central 0, Holly Pond 24, Sylvania 21, Lee Scott Academy 47, Childersburg 19, Mars Hill Bible 62, Colbert County 24, Montgomery Academy 48, Houston Academy 7, Oakman 41, Carbon Hill 7, Piedmont 61, Ohatchee 6, Sheffield 47, Rogers 16, Southside Selma 22, Thomasville 15, Trinity Presbyterian 21, Prattville Christian 12, T.R. Miller 35, Monroe County 8, Vinemont 22, Phil Campbell 16, Walter Welburn 55, Weaver 18, Westbrook Christian 46, Sachs 6, Whitesburg Christian 42, Brindley Mountain 6, Wicksburg 56, Slocum 6, Winfield 35, Midfield 6.
Let's see if we can speed dial this. Ayrton 50, in Class 2A, Ayrton 56, Houston County 14, Calhoun 20, Pike Liberal Arts 14, Cedar Bluff 42, Gaston 20, Clark County 37, Central Haneville 0, Coosa Christian 47, Southeastern 6, Geneva County 44, Abbeville 42, Goshen 31, Zion Chapel 21, G.W. Long, Kevin Raley 35, Sampson 18, Highland Home 52, Barber County 0, J.U. Blackshire 40, Chickasaw 0, Lamar County 39, Greene County 14, Lynette 41, Lochapoca 7, Lexington 63, Decatur Heritage 18, North Sand Mountain 41, Sand Rock 0, Pleasant Valley 55, Donahoe 0, Providence Christian 29, Cottonwood 22, Ranburn 33, Lafayette 13, Realtown 54, Horseshoe Bend 14, Sullivan 30, Isabella 21, Susan Moore 66, Cold Springs 50, Tuscaloosa Academy 20, Aliceville 13, Washington County 34, St. Luke's Episcopal 7, Winston County 51, Tanner 26, and Randy, can you do it?
I can do it. Here we go. Class 1A, Addison 68, Shoals Christian 8, Appalachian 42, Locust Fork 39, Otago Academy 41, Billingsley 19, Barry over Marion County 68-42, Brantley 6, Pleasant Home 0, Choctaw County 34, Francis Marion 6, Georgiana 38, Florella 28, Hackleburg 33, Meek 0, Huberville 64, South Lamar 33, Leroy over McIntosh 42-26, Linden 20, Pickens Academy 0, Lynn over Brilliant 70-0, Maplesville 58, Elwood Christian 0, McKenzie 50, Elba 20, where you at 89, Millery, 25. Sweetwater, 12. Phillips, 26. Bina, 12. Pisgah, 52. Section 6. R.C. Hatch, 24. Holy Spirit, 14. Red Level, 29. Kinston, 22. Southern Choctaw, 50. J.F. Shield, 0. Spring Garden over Raglan, 52-33. University Charter, 30. Red Bay, 7. Valley Head, 55. Galesville, 38. Verbena, 28. Keith, 26. Wadley, 56. Fayetteville, 27. Waterloo over Cherokee, 52-46. A lot of defense in that game. Winterboro, 58. Central Coosa, 24. Woodland, 35. Victoria Christian, 21. And Woodville, 43. Idler, 7. There you go. That are all the games from around the state. How about that one for you?
That's pretty good.
We're getting pretty good at this.
Here we are. Yeah.
Perfect timing. All right. Hey, we'll take a timeout. When we come back, we'll talk some Pirate football. We do that with the head football coach for the Vallejo Pirates, Tim Carter. He's up next right here on the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, brought to you by Alpha Insurance. The Boudreaux Cajun Grill communication lines are open at 251-343-0106. Now, back to the show.
And we welcome you back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. I am Randy Bergen, along with Coach Mark Laster and Coach Rick Cleveland. And guys, time to go to our Boudreaux Cajun Grill guest line and welcome in the head football coach for the Pirates of Fairhope, Coach Tim Carter. Coach, thank you for taking time to be with us this morning, and congratulations on a nice win last night, 31-0 over Alma Bryant.
Good morning, guys. Thank you. I appreciate that. Our kids played pretty well, so it was a good night at U football out and had a big crowd. So, but thanks again.
You know, Tim, when you look at your football team, and we saw them opening week, and I made the comment, I said, you know, this is a team that's just going to get better and better as time goes on. And talk just a little bit about the improvement that you've seen from week one to week three, because, I mean, your execution, to me, it was just a little bit off the first week, second week, third week's here now, and talk just a little bit about the improvements that you've seen that's really made a difference in your football team.
Well, you know, the first week, we didn't play as bad as the outcome or the score. I thought we really played well defensively and in our special teams.
Yep.
But when you drop 8 footballs and 5 of them for third down conversions and couldn't gain any momentum, I mean, it just – but our kids were resilient. They came back and went to work. We tried to clean up some of that stuff, and we're far from where we need to be. I think we've got some potential, but we have not really, to me, caught a rhythm offensively. I thought we played at a high level defensively every week, and then we've got a pretty good kicking game. Grant Thompson is an above-average kicker. He's a very good punter and a good kickoff guy. I think last night he put all but one, was a touchback. So, you know, that part of us, we could put all three facets together. I think we got a chance to be formidable down the road. But you're right, Rick. I don't really know what the formula was other than just come back in and go to work, put your nose to the grindstone. But
yeah,
we've still got some rhythm to get offensively. But then there are moments where you're like, okay, this could be really good. And I think Trey Garner's playing better and better. And, you know, offensively, you need 11 guys in sync. And if one guy goes, you know, makes the wrong step or doesn't block the right guy, it looks like a complete failure. So, you know, hopefully we get that cleaned up. But, yeah, last night was a good night. And, you know, I think Alma Bryant, you know, Bart's one of the guys that's probably given me some of the biggest headaches throughout the years when he was a DC at Prattville and other places. He's a really good coach. So, I don't know if they can get over that hump. You know, he won a couple big games last year, so it just we're getting better. I just I don't know. As a coach, you never have a sense of relief or like, hey, we're getting there. I mean, I see the progress, but I know the second half of our season is extremely difficult, so we got to continue to improve.
Tim, good to hear your voice, buddy. I've been keeping up with y'all a little bit through the season so far, and I agree with Rick. I think that your team is coming together a little bit, some things that are going on, and you got Davidson coming up, and I know that's a big game for both schools. Davidson's coming off a tough loss. Tell me a little bit about, I don't know if you've even had a chance to even look at them yet, but about your preparation for Davidson next week.
Well, you know, we try not to let our preparation too much around the opponent. You know, it's all about us, especially in the beginning of the week. So I have not had an opportunity to look at Davidson other than see them at a 7-on-7. They're always very talented. You know, they play hard. And you know, they have, you know, they've kind of, you know, they need to refine that or find that luster they had when Fred was there, because they were one of the toughest opponents in this region when I first came. And, you know, Rick had some flashes there. So, you know, we definitely respect them. You know, we don't have a lot of film on them. It's early in the season. And this last night is the first night we've had game film on our opponent. Faith had not played anybody. Spanish Ford had not played a spring game and had two new coordinators.
Right.
And so, you know, last night's the first time we feel like we really kind of had an idea of what an opponent would do. So we'll get in there. I tell you what Rick did to me 2 years ago. He came out in the single wing, had not shown and had not and beat our hiney in our place. And so we'll be prepared for a little bit of everything. And, you know, we've got rules of alignment on defense. So it's just about cleaning up. And our tackling's been a lot better. I will say that. That's one thing we measure, how many missed tackles we make. And that's a goal we've not gotten each week. And so, you know, that was a real improvement. And it's always good to get a shutout. And I think we're playing better. But as far as Davidson, I'm not real – well, you know, there's a region game, and it's the next one, and we need it. So,
you know, Tim, and we're talking to Tim Carter, the head football coach at Fairhope High School. And Tim, when you talk about 7A football and the way, not realignment, but the way we have realigned the playoffs, I think it gives everybody a little bit better opportunity to be successful, because in my eyes, and you've been here, you were ultra successful at Auburn. And I kind of wanted to get your perspective on this, because now what we're doing is regions 2 and 3 are going to be playing each other in the first round. And that matches your region up, if I'm not mistaken. Are you matched up with Huntsville this year?
That's correct, this year.
Talk just a little bit about that, because I hadn't got – and I've talked to coaches in Birmingham about it. Of course, they don't like it. But talk a little bit about it from your perspective. And I know we're talking about the end of the year and all that, but the perspective from coaches is important to us.
Well, you know, first of all, I'll go back to when there were 6 classifications. I felt like then, and was an advocate for when you got to the semifinals, that we should have crossed the state. And
right.
The whole premise in that was, let's have some different matchups. Let's give a team out of the – 2 great teams out of the South or 2 great teams out of the North an opportunity to play each other in a championship game. Rather, because some of the semifinal matchups were some unbelievable. And, you know, then the state championship would be a wash. Now, 7A now is a little bit different with only 32 teams. You know, we're half the size of the other classifications. So, you know, you end up playing a lot of guys over and over. So I think it made perfect sense to put it on a rotational basis so you could get some different matchups. Now, traditionally, this has, you know, I think, just being honest, that our region has been a little off from where it was 10, 15 years ago. Right. Don't really know why. Can't put my finger on it. But, you know, so Birmingham has kind of evolved as a really good region, and East Alabama, where I once was, Auburn, Central, and some of those schools. And I understand, you know, they're saying that they don't want to have to match each other in the first round like they're going to have to this year. But then it rotates every year, so I don't care that they're crying. You know,
I'm with you on that one.
Yeah, line up and play them. But I do think it needs a little bit different because, you know, heck, sometimes you're having to play some of these 7A schools that you have to turn around and match in the first and second round. You have to play them in the regular season to make a schedule. So, you know, I think it made perfect sense. And I would love to see it in 1-6 where let's say, for example, Jackson and St. Michael's. Let's say those two, you know, at the end of the year are having to play each other in semifinals, and we feel like, okay, that should be a championship game.
Right.
Well, if you're playing across the state, it would make a championship, a state championship
game. That's
right.
That's right.
I've always been one time it was, well, the cost of travel. Well, we don't care about the cost of travel at other times. So, you know,
no.
I think it makes sense, and I'd like to see it go to another level. But with 7A being so much smaller, I think it was a good call.
I agree with you. 100%. I think it's a great call.
Yep, me too.
I really do. You know, I think that you know, after a while, you know, if you play the same deal every single year, you know, it becomes monotonous, and your kids and your coaching staff and your communities want to see somebody else and do something to have to play, you know, have something to play for throughout the year, you know, and be able to say, okay, we're going to go to Huntsville, or Huntsville's coming to us. In the first round of whoever comes down, you get to play them. It gives your kids a little bit more incentive, I think.
Well, I do, I think it gives you a different venue, somewhere to go, somewhere to travel, something different. That's what we want to be about, different experience for kids. And, you know, we've been to Central and Auburn pretty much every year that we've made the playoffs because we've been in the
right.
– 1 year we won the region, and, you know, another year we were second. But other than that, we've been 3 or 4, and you know those have been pretty difficult road trips. You know, we've lost some close games. We went to Auburn a couple years ago when Caden Creel was a senior, and that ball game we had some. I got ejected, only time in my career, and you know it was. But it was a difficult place to go play. You know. And Central, of course, they've been the dominant team in the South, if not the state. Them and Thompson. So you know, it's does it give us maybe a little easier chance to advance? It possibly, but I just think the matchup is more what I'm looking at. You know, can two teams now emerge that maybe wouldn't have? I don't think that's going to really impact it as much, but. You know, it is what it is, and I like it. So,
Tim, thank you for your transparency on that, because it's an interesting concept, and I like the semifinal North-South thing. I do. I like that. I was always a proponent of that, and so hopefully one day soon, maybe something like that will come about. But thank you for your time this morning. I hope you have a great weekend, pal. You certainly deserve it.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate y'all. Bye-bye.
All right, buddy. Take care, Tim.
All right, there you go. Coach Tim Carter, the head football coach for the Pirates of Fairhope. And, Rick, you said it when they were playing Spanish Ford. And he said it. That score wasn't indicative of that game.
No, it wasn't.
So,
he's right about drop passes.
Yeah.
Could have been a much different game.
There's no doubt about it. All right, hey, we'll take a timeout when we come back. Coach Cleveland, he'll have our leadership segment right here on the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. PSR is live every Saturday from 8 until 10 a.m. Now, back to the show.
And we certainly welcome you back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. Coach, do we let this one roll?
Well, I don't think you can not let it roll.
A little Boss Gags and JoJo, no doubt about it, on a Saturday morning. Man, get you all fired up and get ready for some football today. All right, time for our leadership segment. And, Rick, you got it.
You know, guys, there's an elephant in the room when you talk about high school sports right now. And, first of all, let me say how much we appreciate Go Pest, everything that they do for us, a subsidiary right there of 68 Ventures. Appreciate what Nathan Cox and that whole team does in sharing leadership, not only with coaches, but with constituents all around the country. But this morning, talking about leadership, sometimes I think we cross boundaries when it comes to politics and sports. And I know I'm prejudiced. I'll be the first one to say that I'm prejudiced when it comes to the Alabama High School Athletic Association. And I know that they have made decisions that I might not have agreed with, but I also know that the AHSAA, the rules that are made by the schools. And I don't understand, Mark and Randy, why we would have a governor that would want to get involved in AHSAA matters instead of letting the schools run the AHSAA. I can't imagine that concept, because, you know, we have a lieutenant governor who says we want to shut down the AHSAA. Their boundaries need to be taken away from them, essentially. Not exactly, but wants the legislature to have more control over high school sports in the state of Alabama. I think for over 100 years, the AHSAA has managed and governed high school sports about as well. And at one time, the AHSAA was a organization that other states absolutely tried to copy, tried to do everything that we were doing. And I don't know why all of the sudden, well, I do know why, all of the sudden we're beginning to see an infiltration of legislators stepping out and being critical of the AHSAA, when all they're doing is they are carrying out the laws that are established by the schools. And who else is to run the AHSAA better than those that are trained in that in sports administration? I don't think legislators are. I don't. And when you talk about leadership, somewhere somebody's got to step up front and say, look, these are our rules. And I think that's what Heath Harmon's done. I really do. I know Steve Savarese did it. But step up and say, we're going to continue to govern according to bona fide moves. We're going to continue to govern and rule about school zones, crossovers. I'm just perplexed at everything that's going on now when our government's getting involved with high school athletics, Mark.
I am 100% with you. We have, you know, on this show, I remember it being stated years ago, you know, be careful when you start getting getting legislators involved in what's going on with decisions that are made by the Alabama High School Athletic Association. Because once they get in that door, they're going to want to get
right.
in more.
Right.
And so my personal beliefs on this are that the High School Athletic Association has been a functioning body that whether we agree with a decision or not, right, is what stands.
Yeah.
And there have been decisions that have adversely affected programs that I've been associated with.
Absolutely.
And didn't like their interpretation of a, yep, rule, whatever. But at the end of the day, that's what the rule states. This is how they interpret it. We have to move forward. But in this day and age that we've got today, and I'm going to get on a soapbox because it really ticks me off, we're thinking about, well, you know, I'm going to get me a trophy one way or another. Somehow everybody's got to get a trophy.
Yeah.
And if I can't get it through the high, then I'll go to the governor and whatever. And I'm, you know, a governor and the government need to stick to, don't they have bigger problems to solve in this state of Alabama than what's going on in the High School Athletic Association? Come on, give me a break. We have a ruling body in our state that handles high school athletics. And our coaches and our athletic directors and our principals make the decisions on all the rules that go in. All that happens is those things are all sent out. They're all voted on by the schools. It goes in and it's passed or it's not. And then that governing body, the High School Athletic Association Central Board, makes rulings on them. If you don't agree with it, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I mean, it's just the way it is. You may not agree with what happened in a courtroom on a verdict that you thought you were going to get a not guilty on, and you got guilty. What are you going to do? You're going to appeal, you're going to appeal, and you're going to get beat again.
Yeah.
9 times out of 10. But I'm just saying, I don't think the government has any place in high school athletics. I think it needs to get out. I think they need to tend to their own business and handle what goes on in government and help feed all the poor people and folks who can't make it in our state today. Help our education get more funding so we can become one of the better programs in the country instead, yeah, of down in the bottom half of it. Why are we worried about high school athletics when it runs fine? All decisions are not made that everybody likes, but that doesn't really, you know, sometimes you just have – Michael Jordan didn't like it when he got cut from his sophomore from his basketball team.
Right.
What'd he do? Sit around and pout, go see the legislator about why he got cut? No. He went back to work and became probably the greatest player ever play a game of basketball. All I'm saying is that I get tired of people getting in the business of stuff that they got no business in my opinion. That's me, and I'm a little podunk little coach. I don't know a whole lot, but I do have feelings about things, and I think the government and our governor needs to stay out of it. She needs to mind her own business and take care of what she does in her office, which is, should be to help run our state, not the High School Athletic Association. That's my 2 cents worth. Was I fired up or what?
I like that. I mean, and more people, we need to be that way in the sense that, you know, the government doesn't have a place in the AHSAA making the rulings that they make, because all they're doing is making rulings based on what the schools have voted on. And if you don't like it when they make that rule,
vote against it.
That's all you got to do. Simple as that.
There you go.
Those are the opinions of these two fellas, not this radio station or Radio Alabama. We got to throw that disclaimer somewhere.
What's your side, Randy?
Hey, I'm with you guys, man. I enjoyed that. All right, let's take a timeout. When we come back, you're ready to talk some more football. We do that with Coach Sam Williams, the head football coach for the Bulldogs of UMS. Right, it happens right here on the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report.
Coming to you live, the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha. Here's your host, Randy Bergen, with Coach Rick Cleveland and Coach Mark Lasseter.
And we welcome you into the second hour of the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios, located right here in Daphne, Alabama. Beautiful Saturday morning. Nothing like high school football on Friday night, and then you got college football on Saturday.
NFL on Sunday. I mean, this is the zone, man.
This is the zone.
This is where we like to be. Guys, let's talk some more high school football, and we're going to do that on our Boudreaux's Cajun Grill guest line. We've got the head football coach for the Bulldogs of UMS, right? Coach Sam Williams on the line with us. Coach, congratulations on your win, 39-20 over BC Rain last night, and thank you for taking time to be with us to talk about your game.
Yeah, I appreciate it, guys. Thank y'all for having me.
Sam is, I promise you, Sam's working. Wherever he is, he's working.
And Coach, Rick, I was 2:30 in the morning asleep, 5:30 up, watched my computer on my way to Foley to watch these two little girls play soccer. So that's what I'm doing, is standing right now watching.
There you go, baby.
I love that. Well, we're just glad to have you here, Sam, this morning, and we appreciate you being with us. Talk just a little bit about, I said this earlier this week, the friendly confines of Irvin S. Cooper Stadium. Talk just a little bit about your thoughts, just from a coach's viewpoint, putting your head on your pillow, waking up this morning, your thoughts about the game last night over BC Rain.
Yeah, I thought we were super sharp last night. You know, we were up 39-6 and early in the third, and kind of subbed some guys, and so, you know, the score got a little closer. I got frustrated. I was about to lose my mind. Those kids are they're aging me every day, because we're just, you know, not staying locked in and finishing games. But I thought we played really well. Max had four total touchdowns, 75% completion percentage. I thought the O-line did a decent job. They were a lot bigger than us up front, and I thought we did a good job of kind of managing that and taking care of it. And then we had a great game defensively with five takeaways and played super sound, didn't give up any big runs, and really kept their quarterback contained in the pocket.
Sam, 3 weeks into the season, when you and your staff sat down and really talked about this in July, where are you with expectations, and where are the things that you think you need to really improve on to be where you want to be by midseason?
Well, I don't have any in me to be anything than to try to be the best. And so, you know, the first week was disappointing. You know, we wanted to win that one, but I think it may have been a little early. And, you know, the team that we have currently and their, you know, growth and development to finish that game off. But I think we learned a lot from that. But, I mean, from a schematic standpoint, we can do anything we needed to do to go out and win a game. I think right now it's just developing the mental toughness and the resolve to go from being a good team, like I told them at halftime, where you just win games, to being a great team where you go out there and you have a really sense of belief that you're going to go out and dominate people. Because we've got a good ball club, man, and we've got the guys in the right position now. I think we know who we are. We know our strengths and know our weaknesses. So as we sit three games in, you got a lot of clarity in what you need to do. Now we've got to expand on how to get it done, how to get victories, and why it's important that we do the things we got to do.
And we're talking to Sam Williams, the head football coach at UMS Wright. And you've had a couple of starters that have missed a couple of games. And we don't talk about that as coaches a whole lot, but you've had kids who've come in and maybe exceeded expectations from a backup role. Talk just a little bit about the way you're developing depth, and I think that's a huge thing as you move on during the season.
Yeah, I mean, I was really proud of that the last 2 weeks. You know, Kaplan Reed's one of the captains on our team, one of the leaders of our team, and went down late in the St. Paul's game. Fortunately, we'll get him back in short order. But, you know, you've had guys that have had to step into roles that, you know, in positions within our scheme that maybe we didn't expect. And you can see how many reps we get in practice and how much those guys actually get some live bullets thrown at them when you see those younger guys go in the game. But also the thing that has impressed me is, you know, Brett West, our defensive staff, man, just being able to adapt on the fly. You know, we went from being heavy, odd front all spring, all summer, and early in the year to kind of playing more of an even front, and that's been a great change. And Perry Hand has really excelled on the inside these first couple of games, just holding it down until his boy gets back.
You know, coach, as this season rolls along, you know, all the things you do from the summertime and and you get into the start getting into the middle of the seasons where we're headed next, you know, and you got Vigor coming up, which is going to be a good test. It's a good football team, and I just think that UMS seems to be, from what I've just seen, you had a chance to win the first game, could be very easily 3-0 right now. I mean, your team just continues to improve. What are some steps that you think you guys need to work on to get this thing rounded out to where you want them headed into the middle part of the season?
I mean, I think it's really just, you know, I think when you look at teams, a lot of the teams we play athletically, it's easy to make excuses about, you know, hey, they got these guys and these stars and things like that. But it's more about putting a game plan together every week that gives your kids a chance against these guys that are super talented, really athletic. And so I think just as we go, it's can we find a way each week to be us and do the things that we do really well? But when we don't, can we be one of the best second half teams in the state, and can we make great in game adjustments, which I think we've done a good job of so far. But kids just got to continue. I'm so big, man, and I believe in it because I've just seen it so many times. The X's and O's, the scheme's great, but the great equalizer is when you get a group of kids believing in the scheme and believing in each other. And that's really what we're trying to build right now, is that mental resolve to where, you know, when you go out on a game on a Friday night, you know, no matter what the guys across from you look like, you believe you're going to find a way to do it, and you believe your coaches are going to put you in a position to do it.
You know, Coach, one thing, you know, I hear the kids in the background play. I think you said you're at a soccer game. I'm going to tell you, I remember when my boys were little, and we played, you know, we'll say we're at Fairhope on Friday night, had a big ball. Saturday morning, I'd run in, you know, and make sure we're at school, and the guys would start to work on breaking down film, and I'd go out to the soccer field, and it was, I'll tell you what, it was a fantastic place just to decompress for a little while and not think about anything.
It's a great place, Coach, to decompress.
I hope that's what you're doing.
Yeah, it's a great place to decompress. I don't know if the humidity helps your body do that, though. So I
no, it doesn't. That doesn't help.
No.
Well, Sam, go home today and put something on the grill or on the egg or whatever you cook on, and enjoy your day and enjoy your family. The job you're doing is so well respected, and super proud of the job you're doing. Hope you're having fun, because if we're not having fun, we're not. It's something about coaching, Mark, and you know it from 82 years of this stuff together. If you're not having fun, then it's reflective.
Time to get out.
It is. It's reflective of the team,
no,
and this
doubt,
guy's
man.
Having fun.
Yeah, I can promise you. I have fun every single day. I love UMS. I've loved these, you know, love getting to work with the people I get to work with, coaching these kids. And when I stop having fun, I'll go sell used cars or something. I'll go find something else I can do. Maybe I'll be honest with that.
Hey, Sam, I'll give you a warning now. If Lazenby starts talking in foreign languages, he's probably cussing you. So just don't pay any attention to him.
He does it frequently, which for me, I don't speak anything but English, and sometimes it's a little broken. So it's good to have him around to kind of broaden my mind.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, you have certainly surrounded yourself with a great group of people. And thank you for taking time out on a Saturday morning. Look forward to seeing you midweek, pal. Take care and God bless.
Okay. Appreciate it, Rick. Thank y'all.
Thank you, buddy.
There you go. Sam Williams, head football coach for the Bulldogs. UMS, right. Coach, I want to tell you something. UMS got the right one.
They did.
They got the right one.
No doubt. There's no doubt. There's absolutely no doubt in my mind at all.
And, see, when you follow a legend.
Yeah.
You got to bring somebody in who's going to do it his way.
Right.
Period.
That's right.
I mean, that's a hard thing to do, because Terry was ultra successful at what he did. Yeah. And I'm not saying anything, but if they're going to bring – when Terry steps aside and the new guy comes in, you got to let the guy do it his
Absolutely.
Way, and that's the way Sam's going to do it.
Yeah.
Okay, let me just ask you this then. You're an Alabama fan. Do we take that same philosophy
on
DeVore?
Oh, we need to leave this alone.
It's been a year now, and it hadn't changed a bit.
Need to leave that alone.
Oh, my goodness.
Great hire by UMS.
Yeah.
Doug and Wes and everybody involved. Hey, went to Mississippi, got the right guy.
Yeah.
Bottom line.
You can hear it in his voice.
Yeah.
You can hear it in his voice. All right, we'll take another timeout. When we come back, we'll continue talking high school football. We'll do it with Coach Jeff Kelly, the head football coach for the Spartans of Saraland, right here on the Thompson Tractors Press Report.
Welcome back
the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. Call or text the Prep Sports Report at 251-343-0106 on the Boudreaux's Cajun Grill communication line. Now, back to the show.
And we welcome you back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. Randy Bergen along with Coach Mark Glasser and Coach Rick Cleland. And Coach, we've got a special guest on our Boudreaux's Cajun guest line. Bring him up in just a second because you got to talk about one of our great sponsors.
Yeah, you know, Randy, when you talk about Premier Collision, it's something that we love to do because all three of us have certainly our lives are better because of Chris Garris and Kim and Tyler and all the folks there at Premier Collision. And what they do for high school sports around the state of Alabama, every time, or really in Mobile and Baldwin County, every time I'm in there, Chris is on the phone, somebody asking for something, and he's doing everything he can to help them. Most importantly, when you take your vehicle there, you can rest assured that it's going to come back clean, completely fixed, and you're going to think you've got a brand new car. Mark's got about three of them now that it looks like brand new cars, and they're 25 years old.
They are old, but they look good.
I'm telling you, and they run good. That's the other thing is they run good. So if you have a chance, if you have a fender bender, you have any kind of problem, give Chris a call at 251-478-4500. That's 1177 Sledge Drive right there in Mobile, Alabama. When you leave, you'll feel like you're leaving a family reunion. And now it's just kind of a family reunion. Jeff Kelly's got our boy Boutwell out there.
And yep.
I always love talking to Jeff because, you know, it's funny that this year Jeff had to go back to Jackson, got a big win up there. I want to know, and we'll get to answer right here, did Jeff Kelly and his Spartans go into the pink dressing room?
Rick, I have no idea what you're talking about. I have no idea what you're talking about at all. Hey, I still remember to this day what it was like to see you guys back in the day get off the bus and go and peek inside that door for the first time. It was awesome to watch.
You had your whole staff at different locations to check us out.
Oh, yeah.
I love that.
You were great. And everything.
Congratulations.
The floor, the ceiling, all of it.
I thought Bullet was going to come unglued. I promise. Bless his heart. The hardest working man at UMS. And Bullet sees that pink dressing room and he says, "You're not going to believe it." And the first words out of his mouth were, "Boutwell." Oh, man. It's great to have friends like you, Jeff, in coaching because we never know what to expect when we get there. But it's always fun. And, Jeff, congratulations on a big win last night over Gulf Shores. Talk a little bit about your quarterback because everything I'm hearing is he's not skipping a beat. You lose T.J. Lacy, and here comes the next one in line. And talk a little bit about that quarterback because he did an outstanding job.
You know, I really thought last year, you know, when he was backing up K.J., he really did a good job of preparing like he's playing, preparing like he was a starter. And he had to come into play in several games and was ready when he was called on. He had great poise, and he had a really great offseason. And I think he's got all both the physical and the intangible things that it requires to be a really good one. He, you know, was very accurate last night. I think he was 17-21. And you know, for anybody that has played Gulf Shores, they know, you know, when you play those guys, you got to stare down a lot of zone blitz all night. And, you know, he was able to be decisive and get the ball out on time and try to beat the blitz with good quick throws. And he did that, and he hit a few over the top as well. So he very accurate and was proud of him. The thing that really kind of became a deal in the second half is, you know, we had three or four design runs and a scramble or two that he had big plays in the run game. And he's a big, strong kid, and he can run kind of with a physical mindset. And
He's been really good so far. So we're excited about how he's progressed and how he's improved. And I think the sky's the limit for him. I think he's going to be a really good one.
You know, Coach, every year that I've ever watched you guys play, offense has always been great. But I tell you what, your defense about as sound as it comes, week in and week out, year in and year out. Tell us a little bit about your defense y'all got going at Sarah Land and how they're playing.
Well, we're led by, you know, we've got three, really four senior or returning, not all seniors, linebackers who I believe are really, really good players. I think we've got about as good a linebacking core as we've ever had. We've got, you know, a senior safety, Tamadre Sewer, and LaWardrick Jones as a corner as well that's really, really playing at a high level. And, yeah, excited about those guys. They've given up 20 points in three games and played good people. You know, Skylar Mosley is one of our coaches. He's our D coordinator. He's a former player for me here at Sarah Land, was a linebacker on the 2014 team. And he's been a guy that just, you know, has really kind of been on the fast track, I guess you could. And when we had an opportunity to hire a D coordinator, you know, I really had confidence that even as a young guy in his late 20s that, you know, he had what it took to lead that unit. And he's done a really good job so far. Kids are playing hard. We got Ryan Little in the secondary and Johnny Sklopan in the secondary as coaches that are doing a great job. And Greg Brown is a backers coach. And Luke Lanier is, you know, coaching our D-line. But those guys – a lot of people, you know, it may have raised some eyebrows when I made that decision back during the off season. But, you know, they're doing a great job getting those guys prepared, and I'm really proud of them.
We're visiting with Coach Jeff Kelly, the head football coach for the Spartans of Sarah Land. Coach, we only got a couple of minutes left here. Let me ask you, let's move forward. This week you'll be taking on, you'll be going to the Hill to take on the Toros of Spanish Fort. How do you prepare for the game?
Well, yeah, I think we stay in routine. We prepare like every other week. You know, we've got to do a good job this weekend as coaches of, you know, really, you know, studying and diving into the video and try to find the things that will hopefully give us a chance to be successful. And then this week, our players have got to practice with purpose day in and day out, you know, learning those things and getting ready, getting the things corrected that we need to. And then, you know, the thing – going over there, you know, they're a proud, tradition-rich program, and it's always a good game over there. You got to make sure you're ready to go play each and every week, and you know, it's another chance on the road. We've been on the road now three of the first four of our season, so you know, it's a that's always presents challenges and that kind of stuff. But you know, our kids are, you know, been pretty consistent. You know, they understand how urgent and how, you know, important each and every week is. And, you know, you definitely can't look over anybody, especially a team like Spanish Fort.
You know, and Jeff, I'm not sure about this, but I think the last team that beat you inside the region was how many days ago?
Well, that was at home, 1,799 days.
Was it at home?
That was a home.
Is that home. Listen, I love
that. Not that we're, not that we're counting.
Not, Jim, not that we're
who's
counting.
Counting? No. Yeah,
who's counting?
Tomorrow will be 1,800.
Jim.
That's right, brother.
Only you.
Oh, my
only
goodness.
Jeff. Only Jeff. Who is your statistician that tells you that? Give him some credit.
I don't have one. I don't. Our budget isn't that big. I gotta wear that hat as well.
So, well, you wear it well, pal.
Oh my goodness,
you wear it well.
Hey Jeff, yeah, make sure you tell Boutwell, if you don't mind, tell Coach Boutwell that I'm taking care of his buddy Brandon Dean. Okay.
Okay.
You know, we've got Brandon on our staff, and I know Boutwell's been worried about him, but let him know we got him under control. He's doing fine.
I will absolutely let him know that this morning. I know he's been really concerned about him down there. But hey, I appreciate you guys having us on.
Well,
always good to have
it's
you,
good
buddy.
To have
thanks,
on,
Coach. All right, good stuff right there, yeah, Jeff Kelly. And it's going to be a good. That's going to be a fun game Friday night on the hill, Spanish Fort and Saraland.
Yeah,
which we'll tell you how you can tune into that and watch that ball game. We'll tell you how to do that here in just a few moments. All right, we'll take a timeout. When we come back, more of the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, brought to you by Alpha Insurance. Now, back to your host, Randy Bergen.
Babies in the running round, hanging with the car, putting your business in the street, talking loud, saying you bought it this and that, how much you done spent. I swear she must believe it's all heaven.
All heaven sent. Yes. There you go. That was for you, Mark. You were out last week, so we kind of teed that one up for you, all right?
Man, I'm glad to be back, too. I'll tell you what. Last week, I was a hurting unit. I'm not kidding you. All of a sudden, I just tell you, it was about 4:30. We just had our pregame. I walked through, had our pregame meal and walked through in the sack. And I was going out to meet the officials. I got a phone message that the officials were here, going out to meet them. And I was on my way walking, all of a sudden my back just cramped up. And the lower back just, and it grabbed me, and I mean pulled me straight down. I was just on one knee out there on the sidewalk trying to get to the officials. By the time I got there, I looked like the Hunchback of Notre Dame. I come walking over there, and I can't stand up hardly, and I'm just leaning over. And finally, they said, Coach, you all right? And I said, not really. Anyway, we got upstairs, and I got a little something wrong with my back. It's a lot better today. I mean, I could actually walk around a little bit. Thursday, I got better. But last Saturday, man, I'm going to tell you, I sat in my recliner. I don't think I got up once. I don't think I got up at all. But
well, let me tell you, you have back spasms. That is something that is a weird, weird feel, man. Deal. I'm telling you, I've had them, and it's not fun.
It's not.
It is not fun.
And you can't get them. The problem was I couldn't get it to stop. Yeah. It lasted all Friday night, most of the day Saturday. But finally Saturday afternoon started feeling a little better. But anyway, I'm just glad to be back here with you guys. I couldn't wait. I was looking forward to last Saturday being in the studio with everybody. And it sure is good to be back here with you guys today.
Well, we're certainly glad you're back, and glad you folks are still with us right here on the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. Coach, I know we're going to go around here a little bit, but I do want to mention Spanish Fort. We were just talking to Jeff Kelly, head football coach for Saraland. And Spanish Fort, Saraland, Friday night, 7 o'clock on the hill in Spanish Fort. It'll be a great game. If you can make it out there, make it. If you can't and you want to hear it, you can go to WBHY 103.3, 103.5. You can listen to the game, or you can watch it on the NFHSnetwork.com, and you can watch that ball game. And of course, you and I, Coach, will be doing the play-by-play and color on that, and we'll have Big 89 Rush Wood on the sidelines.
You know, Randy, that's about as much fun as I've had in a long time calling games and being with you and getting all the Alabama history from Russ. And I'm not talking about Alabama history as Capitals moving from one location to another. I'm talking about Russ Wood Alabama history.
Alabama football history.
Well, okay. But it's always fun.
It is.
And we never know what to expect from Russ. We may get a few interesting tidbits coming off the sidelines.
And that's why we love him.
Absolutely. I mean, he
keeps you on your toes.
He is such a joy, and I know Randy Stacey.
Bark.
Randy's sitting on the ignition wanting to go fast, and Russ is saying, slow down, Coach.
Yeah.
This is where we are, Randy.
Yeah.
This is where we are. So it's always a joy.
I got to tell you, this guy has a museum of Coach Paul Bear Bryant.
Yes.
Now, I'm telling you, in his house, I had to take a picture and send it to my son. Of just all of, I mean, it's like a museum. Did my line coach?
No,
you saw it.
Exactly what it is.
And it's great. But Russ will be on with us. He'll be up coming up in the next hour. So,
you know, the wonderful thing about having that relationship is I was lucky enough to have his dad as kind of a mentor. His dad was a longtime coach at Elba, and Mac would come over, and he'd just bypass Harry Wayne. He told Harry Wayne, "I'm not here to see you. We're going on the board." And he'd get me on that board and just talk offensive line football. And that was so much fun because he was so knowledgeable. And then I'd throw not a very smart question at him, and he'd say, "You know, I never thought of it that way, but that brings us to this point." But he was so, and you know, I don't see young coaches doing that anymore. Now, maybe we're the lost generation that had coaches that would come over, and Mac would drive over from Elba, and he would just literally spend hours with me in there on that board. And we had fun, and I learned a great deal from him. And, boy, I'm going to tell you right now, he loved 89, though. He loved that little boy. He was a little boy in those days, but I'm telling you, he loved that little boy, and he had a lot of goals for him, and he's reached them. I mean that.
He was certainly proud he went to Alabama and played for Coach Bryant.
Yeah, he was.
Maybe we can pull that story out of him today.
That'd be a good one to tell, seriously, because it's an emotional one, too.
It is.
It is an emotional one. So, but, you know, young guys now, and I know, Mark, that we're surrounded by young coaches. We had one on today, Sam Williams, who I think has got a chance to be as good a high school coach as we've ever had in this state. I mean that. I mean, he's got all the potential. He's already doing it his way, and he does a great job with it. And like you said, following a legend, and I'm telling you, there won't be many better than Terry Curtis ever in the history of the state of Alabama. But the way they do it, they do it their own way, and I love that about him. But, you know, we used to sit around, and instead of watching huddle all day, we'd have coaches come in, and we'd be on the board with them and learn stuff. Rick Trickett was probably by far the most fun because, when you talk to Rick Trickett, there's a lot of salt coming out of his mouth. I mean, he's filling you up with facts, but he says it in a way that very few coaches can say.
Very colorful.
Very colorful.
But I do. I tell you where those. I love those days where you get. I love old, or not old, but just offensive line coaches to recruit.
Yep.
They man, you talk about offensive line coaches and defensive coordinators. To me, when they come to recruit your school, man, you can get on the board and here you go because they. I mean, they're passionate about what they do. I mean, offensive line coaches got to be passionate because. Nobody ever says anything about the offensive line unless they get quarterback gets sacked, right?
That's
but
right.
Those old guys get in there and they're the grunt work. They work probably as hard or harder than anybody on the field. Defensive coordinator's got the same thing because he's trying to stop whatever you're throwing at him, and they love coming up with schemes. There's always a scheme.
That's true.
Always a scheme
to stop it.
To stop it.
Yeah.
But the thing about it is, the great defensive coordinators are the ones who say. Before we do that, schemes are great, but you better let them, the kids better know what to do so they can play fast and they better know how to tackle.
Amen.
Those two things. If you can line up in whatever you line up in and you don't have to think, you can just react because you've already seen it in your brain.
Right.
And then you can tackle. You got a shot every Friday night.
That's such a good point because we at a point in time, we had Jim Fuller. You were familiar with
Jim.
Him from Fairfield.
Yep.
Former, he just a great guy, and we don't have him anymore. But he and Ken Donahue were in our office, and so
Ken Donahue would stay on the board.
Let me tell
all
you.
Day, all night, all week,
and those two would literally almost fight. They would. They'd get up there and go back and forth with us young coaches. And they would figure out how to beat the other one. And Donahue, he won a lot more than he lost
he
on
did.
That board, I can promise.
Hey, I'll tell you a quick story about Ken Donahue. I'm at the University of Alabama. It's 1980, I think, 79 or 80. All right? And I'm living in a house with seven guys. All right? Nobody has cell phones back then, right? So my house phone rings. Well, I'm upstairs, sleep. It's like 2:15 in the morning. And one of the guys answers the phone. Next thing I know, they're waking me up. I go downstairs and answer the phone. Hello? Mark, Coach Donahue. There's a film at the bus station I need you to go pick up for me. I got to have it, like, right now. Yes, sir, Coach. I got up, went to the bus station. There's a ticket or something, and he already had it fixed. All I had to do was pick it up.
Yep.
I picked it up. I brought it back. He's standing on the steps of Memorial Coliseum.
Yeah, wait.
It's 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yep.
And he has got a cup of coffee. He's got his, and he heads back inside. Says, "Thank you, Mark." And that's it. That's, I never heard another word from him. Never spoke to him again, I don't think. But he, that's the kind of, that guy, he was going to work. He was going to work until he had everything possibly figured out. And that's why Coach Bryant's years were so good.
You're right.
It was, Coach Bryant was a great football coach. But the greatest thing about Coach Bryant was his relationships with his players and his knowledge that I'm going to get the best assistant coaches around me. I want them all to be smarter than me because I'm not real smart. That was his way to say it. That's what he would do. And you just think about all the great coaches that were on that staff.
Yeah.
I mean, they went on and they stayed there for years with Alabama. But Ken Donahue is one of the best defensive coordinators this country's ever seen.
No doubt.
And it wasn't just because of knowledge. It's because of a work ethic and a passion to make sure his kids had the best chance to succeed every time they went.
You know, you mentioned, too, just going to the bus station to get the tape. Okay. Remember reel-to-reel
16
tape?
16-millimeter film, I think, or 8
Black and white.
Hell, yeah. And when you go click, 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 that's when it backs up. Then it goes da-da-da-da-da when it goes forward. Believe me, I heard Steve Savarese run it enough in the 1980s that I can almost mimic that sound. And it would all day long, all night long. Coach Sav would roll that tape. Man, I'm telling you.
You know, you talk about those great coaches, and Shorty White was a great high school coach.
Yeah,
had a stellar career at Banks High School. Shorty goes to work for Coach Bryant at Alabama. And that was also at a time, after Shorty had been there for a couple of years, and I heard this story from Shorty, so I know it's true. After a couple of years, Shorty had a little business on the side with those remember the cell telephones or something?
Yes, yes.
And Coach White was, we were sitting in Tuscaloosa at that old hotel that we used to always go to.
Right.
I can't remember where
it was. I can't
think of
it either.
But he said, Coach Bryant called me in and he said, "Shorty, how you like that business you're in?" He said, "Coach, I'm doing good with it. It's okay." He said, You might want to think about doing that full time if you can't do running backs full time. Shorty said, "Oh, Coach, sir, Coach, I'm done.
I'll quit.
I'm done." He said, 2 days later, that was on a Saturday, I think. 2 days later, he said he walked in that whoever was his boss or something, and said, "Here's all my stuff. I'm no longer associated with this."
That's something else.
Oh, that's some good stories, man.
Hey, when I was at Alabama, I had a class called Coaching Football.
Right.
All right. Shorty White was the teacher.
Yeah.
Okay. This is what the class consisted of. Roll call, turn on the game film from Saturday afternoon.
Yeah.
And you watch the game. Y'all enjoy that? See you next week. That was it. That was coaching
and football. Everybody made A's.
Everybody made A's.
There you go.
And on the other side of the state, the best two combination to come into your office, Larry Blakeney and Will Muschamp.
No, oh my goodness.
There was all kind of banner going back and forth.
Oh, all the time.
Great
all
people.
All right, we take our final timeout. When we come back, Coach Mark has got the Camp Gray segment right here on the Thompson Tractor Press Sports Reporter.
This segment of the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, brought to you by Camp Grace. Now back to Coach Rick Cleveland.
Camp Grace is located in West Mobile as the summer home of Camp Rapahope, Camp Mash, Camp Smile, and Camp Sugar Falls, as well as the home of Outback Mobile and is shared by many other community organizations throughout the Mobile area. Camp Grace is a place where God's love is bestowed freely upon others, the true definition of God's grace.
You know, last week I was, I told Rick last Saturday when we talked after the show, I said, "Man, I was really wanted to share something on the Gray segment today," and I've saved it for this week. I've had too much time to think about it, and I think I've sat around and said, "Okay, I'm gonna title it this," but I come to this: is time does not stand still. for any of us. A week ago, Friday night or Thursday night, Coach Trotter allowed me to go watch Landon coach. We had a middle school game, and we normally do, but it was a chance I had to go watch him. Coach is a defense coordinator, and Coach Trotter said, "Coach, go. You need to go watch him." So I got to go to watch Robertson. They were playing Alberta. And what a thrill it was for me to sit there with my wife and my son, my youngest son, Bryant, who wanted to go watch his brother. The week before, his older brother and his wife and some friends had all come to the game the week before. And so we were able to watch. It's a big step for Landon and our family to move into a position of leadership at a 7A school.
Yep.
And so I'm really, you know, excited for how he does that and yada, yada. But anyway, sitting up in the stands, watching the game, just being a proud dad, you know, and them winning the game, and they were able to get a shutout, you know, in the game. And he was really – that's a big deal for a defensive coordinator to get a shutout. You know, it's just – it's hard to do. Anyway, they get the shutout, and he's really excited. I got to see him after the game. And all that elation, and you're in the, and you feel so proud, and you're so happy, and you go home and spend the day, you know, the next day you get ready for your game. And, you know, everything. And it just seems like it's going to be, you know, this is going to be a great. And I get a phone call from my dad. And he says that my uncle's not doing well, my dad's brother.
Yeah.
And he's had cancer for 3 or 4 years, and he's been fighting it. He's Uncle Jerry was 87 years old, and he and my dad were thick as thieves, the two of them, you know, and played baseball together out there in Coach Bend. Actually, they went to a place called Ball Play. Never heard of Ball Play, but there's some little old community out there called Ball Play. That's where they played their baseball games. And my granddaddy told me the story that my dad was pitching and Jerry was catching, and Dad kept saying, shaking him off. And Jerry kept calling the pitch. Dad kept shaking him off. And finally, Jerry got up and walked out toward the mat, and Dad said, "Hey, Jerry, you can turn around and go back to home plate. I ain't throwing it." "You will throw it. I called it." And he said, before it was over, the two of them had got into a fight, a fist fight, in between home plate and the pitcher's mouth. And everybody just stood there and let them go at it for a while. And
oh, my goodness.
I asked Dad, I said, "Well, who won the fight?" He goes, "I don't know who won the fight, but I didn't throw the pitch he wanted." Anyway, so and the story, what I'm trying to say is, you know, that Dad and Jerry were the last siblings of Dad's family.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, his granny and granddaddy had already passed away, and Dad's brothers and sister had passed away. And so Jerry was the last member of that family. And I remember thinking, you know, when I talked to Dad after Jerry did pass away this last week, and passed peacefully with all of his family surrounding him. And I talked to my dad about it, and he said, "You know, son," he goes, "it's just one of those things where, you know, time just keeps on moving. It just keeps on moving. It doesn't stand still." So you go from the elation of being a proud papa on Thursday night watching your kid coach and do what he does, and then just as proud of my youngest son who wants to be there watching his brother and cheering for him, you know. And that it means a lot for me, for our family to be that way, you know. And I see the same thing for my dad and his brother. And those were things, like Dad said, when the casket closed, he goes, it was kind of like reality really set in, that I'm the last of the family.
Mm.
And he told me, he says, "You know, time just doesn't stand still, son." He goes, "I'm getting older." He goes, "I get up every day. I'm glad to be alive." He goes, "But man, my body's wearing out. You know, I can feel it." And I thought to myself, we just can't take any moment for granted in our lives. And I have to always remember that there's a bigger purpose out there than just what I think or what I believe. There is a bigger purpose in our lives. And that purpose to me is to try to be the very best person I can possibly be every single day and be proud of what I, you know, too many times we're not proud and happy with what we have. Oh, I got to have this. That's going to make me happy. Well, it's not going to make you happy because time's going to catch up with you and that's going to be obsolete. You know, it just is. Time will not stand still for any of us. The only thing I can do is be present in the time that I have allotted for me. And man, I'm telling you, it is it's such a weird deal when you go from elation to sadness and then back to it. And we watch our team play last night, and man, it was just watching them play the game, you know, seeing how the kids react. And coach, I meant to tell you this. There were men last night at the two guys from Orange Beach walked up to me just out of the clear blue and said, "Coach, love your show. Love that radio show with you and Randy and Rick Duke. Man, it is so meaningful to listen because it's so good how you guys tie the past with the future and tie the present with the past and the future and bring back some of the old school guys and the new guys." And he goes, and then there's always this underlying philosophy of moral values and a Christian mindset, a faith-based show. These are people talking to me that I don't really know, you know? And I'm like, thank goodness the message, you know, Rick first set this message out a long time ago, long before I ever got involved in it. And it's coming, it's true. People see it. People are hearing it, Rick, I'm telling you. And as time goes on, we just got to continue. There's going to be highs. There's going to be lows. There's going to be difficult times. I was thinking about my Uncle Jerry this morning when I got up and I was getting ready. I was thinking about him. And my cousin Fred said, best bird hunting partner ever been with.
All right. That's great. Well,
and I'm thinking, and Fred was, that's his daddy.
Yeah.
Well, Uncle Jerry and myself went hunting. Quail hunting several times. I can still watch him going through those woods or those fields. Great time, y'all. And I took up this whole time, guys, and I'm sorry, but
no,
man, time just never stands still.
It's going by fast.
Randy, thank you. Thank you for everything you do. Everything. Mark, it's so good to have you back in here.
It's good to be
no
here.
Doubt.
Remember this, no matter what you do, no matter where you go, he is always with you. God bless you. See you here, same place, same time next week. Say a prayer for our buddy Jimmy Perry.